It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, MONSON.com. You'll see all the podcasts and the recaps of all of our shows there. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. That way you get first look at all of our upcoming guests as well as the latest in our Sounding Off with Kim Monson podcasts and the latest in our op-eds. You can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. And we would appreciate it if you would go over to Facebook and give us a like. We've got a big show planned for you today. In this first segment, we will be talking with a couple of different people. Carl Honegger is going to be introducing to us a ballot question that will be in Broomfield regarding the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, which that probably means if it's a ballot issue and Tabor is in it, it probably means that they're looking for a tax increase. And then Doug Townsend, he is running for Senate District 31 here in Colorado. We'll chat with him. Dr. Jill Vecchio will weigh in. Once again, she has come up with a 10-point plan to fix health care here in America. So we'll talk about that, as well as there was a recent article in the Colorado Sun that was talking about the Black and Hispanic community may be hit harder with the COVID-19 Wuhan virus than other communities. And so we'll ask her about that. And then Sarah Chamberlain, she is the president and chief executive officer of the Republican Main Street Partnership. We're going to be talking about suburban women, education, and America. So that's what the show looks like. Tomorrow, be a part of history. Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas are rolling out the I'm a Trumpster Minority Bus Tour. At 4:30, we are going to meet at 401 West 43rd. Again, that is 401 West 43rd. And Steve, I think that you said that that was generally in the I-25, I-70 area. And we'll be there at 4:30. We're going to create a motorcade, introduce the I'm a Trumpster Minority Bus to the Denver metro area. So be part of that and get your flag on your car, and it's going to be a great day. So really appreciate that. You can go to I'm a Trumpster. That's imatrumpster.com. All of the information is there. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Our quote for today is from Thomas Sowell. He's an American economist and social theorist who's currently a senior fellow at Stanford University's Hoover Institution. He was born in North Carolina. He grew up in Harlem, New York. He dropped out of high school and served in the United States Marine Corps during the Korean War. He's 90 years old. He received a bachelor's degree, graduating magna cum laude from Harvard University in 1958, and has a master's degree from Columbia University. Got that in 1949. In 1968, he earned his doctorate in economics from the University of Chicago. And he said this. He said, "The problem isn't that Johnny can't read, and the problem isn't even that Johnny can't think. The problem is that Johnny doesn't know what thinking is. He confuses it with feeling." And we've got a lot of students that are graduating these days with that. So let's jump right over here to Carl Honegger. Carl, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you.
There's a Tabor question that's going to be on the Broomfield ballot, and Tabor is Colorado's Taxpayers' Bill of Rights. What is going on, Carl?
Hey, so it is on your ballot question 2C. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to talk about it as if it's a Gallagher issue, and that they want to, the term is de-Gallagherize, and actually just give voters, they want voters to wait to vote on any future increase in the assessment rate that they use for property taxes.
Okay, now tell me once again, so this is de-Gallagher, they call it de-Gallagherizing, I guess, And so they want to voters to give them the power to not have to vote on assessment rates. Is that right? Am I hearing that correctly?
Well, yes, that is true. Now, of course, they're not going to drop the assessment rate. Of course, they want to raise it in the future. And so, of course, this is also a Tabor issue because this is a future increase in property taxes. And so we're trying to hide behind some of the discussion about Gallagher and talking about how it might not be fair, et cetera. But if voters vote yes on this, it's not going to be fair for anybody. It's really the idea of who has the right to reach into your pocketbook. And this gives government a blank check to, in the future, decide that they want to adjust the assessment rate, which is increased property taxes, and make people who, you know, were already hurting, a lot of people out of jobs, people who are furloughed. This is not the time to be increasing property taxes on anybody.
You think? You know, I think the government, whether or not it's local, county, state, or federal, as we look at the COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, government needs to tighten its belt. It's gotten pretty bloated and it's gotten pretty big. And so instead of, as you mentioned, everyday hardworking people that may be furloughed, maybe they've lost their jobs, their small business, their margins are really, really being squeezed, government needs to tighten their belt instead of asking for more and more money from people. But what I'm hearing you say, Carl Honegger, is this vote would actually go into the future. And I think there's something immoral about people voting for other people in the future to have to pay more and more taxes. So this is a very important issue. We've got just a minute, Carl. What would be the kind of the final wrap-up that you want to say to our listeners this morning?
So you're totally right about the words on the ballot are in perpetuity. You waive your right forever. So if you wouldn't give someone else you don't know, even if you like city council right now, you don't know who's going to be in city council
exactly
4 years from now. So just say no is what I would suggest. It's like a really bad thing, like drugs. Just say no. Don't waive your right as a taxpayer. Don't get confused by whatever else they're going to claim that for the schools, for whatever. This is about your rights. And so this is a very important thing, regardless of your political affiliation. We're all taxpayers here in Broomfield. Don't waive your rights. Stand up for them.
That's for sure. And Carl, I'm just going to give everybody just a little tip. If you are reading a ballot question and it has the words in perpetuity in it, just vote no. Just vote no if those words are in it. So, hey, Carl, keep us informed on that. As we're getting closer and closer to election season, we will need to revisit this. So I really appreciate you calling in this morning on that. And what is that ballot question there in Broomfield? What's the number?
It's 2C.
2C. So be sure and vote no on 2C. Carl Honegger, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Doug Townsend, he is stepping up, and he is running for Senate District 31 here in Colorado. My friends, you know, you can see how important these races are. Elections have consequences. People that say politics, I'm not into politics. Well, we found out that politics are into you. And that is why we need to send people down to the state house that are representing you, not all of these special interests. Doug Townsend, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. How are you today?
I am good. So the race is heating up and things will really get busy after Labor Day. I see, though, people are paying attention, Doug Townsend. You've stepped forward. You're running for Senate District 31. First of all, what area is that, Doug Townsend?
It's east-southeast Denver. It basically runs from Colfax down to Bellevue. Aurora is the eastern border. And then for the most part, if you think coming up Colorado to 25, up to about 1st Street and then over to Broadway.
Okay.
Looks like a big 7 on the map.
Big 7. Okay. I know you're out there working, even in this heat. I know that you have been, walking and knocking on doors, and that is how you're gonna win this, is because of your hard work on this, Doug Townsend. So, what's kind of the top issue or two issues that you want people to know that you're really focused on?
You're absolutely right. We've been out walking about 4 to 5 hours a day. It's a great weight loss program, and it is warm out there, but it's a great way to talk to people and find out what's really of concern to them. And the one that I have found that crosses the political divide, it doesn't matter whether Democrat, Republican, unaffiliated, are concerns over education. People are genuinely concerned as to what's going on with our kids. How are they going to get back in school? Is it online? Is it in person? How do the parents go back to work? That's a huge issue for virtually everybody that I talk to.
And how would you fix that, Doug Townsend?
Well, I think you fix it by empowering the local schools to make the decisions. And then you have to sit there and have the schools get creative as well, too. There's not necessarily even a one-size-fits-all for any individual school district. Some parents may be more hesitant to send their kids to school if somebody within that school has been tested positive. Others may be less so. So I think that a school district should offer alternatives within their school district as well to parents, to allow the parents to do their own risk assessment, to decide whether they want to send their child to the school if there's somebody positive or not positive. You know, to a large degree, if a child shows up with the flu or the mumps or the measles or whatever, that's a highly contagious disease. It can have some significant health consequences for any child, but we don't shut down schools for that. We let the parents know that it happened. We send the ill child home, and then the parents can decide what they want to do with their own children. We have to give parents control over how their kids are taught.
What a novel idea, Doug Townsend. I love it.
It is a strange one these days, isn't it?
It is. That's creative. It's innovative. And I think we could use a little of that down at the State House. So, Doug Townsend, I have started to recommend people, I think, are hungry to do something. And I'm recommending that people adopt a candidate. And I think that you would be a great adoptee. And to contact you to see how they can help, whether or not might be walking, if that's not their thing. Perhaps it might be writing notes, or it might be text messaging. It might be that they don't have the time to do that, but that to make a monthly commitment or a weekly commitment, $5 a week or $10 a week, to help you. So I would highly recommend that people start to partake in this Adopt a Candidate program. And how can people get more information about you, Doug Townsend?
They can go to my website, Doug Townsend for You, and that's spelled out FORYOU.com, DougTownsendForYou.com. I have a lot of information in there on my background, my position on the issues, and there's a volunteer page where people can send me an email and let me know how they would like to help out. And I'll respond to them, you know, depending on if I'm out walking that day, maybe later in the day before I respond to them, but I will get back to them fairly quickly and love all the help and support we can get from folks. This is a movement. There's a lot of folks involved, and I'm really excited about it.
Well, thank you, Doug Townsend. And once again, what is that website?
DougTownsendForYou.com.
That's DougTownsendForYou.com. And, Doug, we're going to keep these conversations going on a regular basis, so we will talk to you very soon.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We're going to go to a break. Before we do that, though, Hooters Restaurants is one of my valued partners. And we certainly have some sports these days, the Avalanche, the Rockies. I guess we're not watching in the Milwaukee Bucks because they don't want to play right now in their playoff game. But the place to watch all these games is at Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations. Let's see, I know I have those memorized. They're Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. They're open for dine-in, to-go, delivery, or curbside service. Happy hour at Hooters is Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. They have specials on that. Wednesdays are Wings Day, all the wings you can eat for $15.99 for dine-in. They have lunch specials, kids eat free, and just a lot of, it's just great these Colorado afternoons to, you know, just meet a friend, have a beverage, have an hors d'oeuvre, and just enjoy. So go to order.hooters.com for more information. That's order.hooters.com, and we'll be right back.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. We'd appreciate it if you would go over to Facebook and give us a like. Before we jump into this with Dr. Jill Vecchio, I always like to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with, and that is Zach, Keith, Patty, Zach, Keith, Patty, Charlie, and Steve. Okay. I wasn't really going to forget you. And to each of you listeners, thank you. You each have a purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Other thing, tomorrow is the kickoff of the I'm a Trumpster Minority Bus Tour. Meet us at 4:30, 401 West 43rd. A couple of hours. We're going to go through, do a motorcade through the metro area. It is going to be amazing, so be part of history. Somebody that I think is historical, and that is Dr. Jill Vecchio, because Dr. Jill Vecchio actually read the complete Obamacare Act. Dr. Jill Vecchio, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kim.
So you knew what was in it because you read it, Dr. Jill. But let's jump in here. A couple of things. First of all, you have come up with a 10-point plan to fix healthcare here in America. And we've done an excellent podcast together where you explained what had happened to healthcare and actually go into this more in depth. So I'd recommend that people go to the website and listen to that particular podcast that we did. But Jill, quickly, before we get into the subject of the day, what are those 10 points to fix healthcare here in America?
Well, the main problem, as I see it, in healthcare is that we've created a system over decades whereby the person getting the care, the patient, and the person giving the care, the doctor or healthcare provider, are separated bureaucratically from the person paying for the care. And when you think about everything in life, whoever pays for it gets to make the rules.
Mm-hmm.
So now we've got a healthcare system, somebody else is paying for it, and somebody else gets to make the rules. So in order for us to bring healthcare decisions back to the doctor-patient relationship, allow negotiation and so forth, and pricing, lower healthcare prices, we have to bring it back to the consumer. Keeping that in mind, so the simple solutions. Number one, post prices. Anything that's being done, you should, just like everything else in our lives, we know what it costs before we enter into a transaction. Stop playing the games of the charge versus prices and reimbursement that the insurance companies and providers have been playing for years. It creates a black box. We don't know what's going on. Number two, minimize insurance mandates. In other words, like those Liberty Mutual commercials, right? Only pay for what you need,
mm-hmm.
right? It doesn't have to be that obnoxious, but that's what it should be. Number three, use real health insurance. Right now we have prepaid health care. Use real insurance just like your car insurance. So instead of having your car insurance pay for oil changes and tires and windshield, it does pay for windshields. But oil changes and tires, have it only pay for the catastrophic things, the big ticket items. Expand health savings accounts. So you could just treat it like a 401k or something and even expand it from there so that you could pass it on to your heirs. It can only be used for medical expenses. Think about that. When something is already earmarked only for medical expenses, it's not like somebody can squander that too much, right?
Right.
Charities should be able to start health savings accounts. Churches and charities, we're the most giving country in the world, have charities that have HSAs that people can go to when they need help with medical bills. Separate insurance from the workplace. Again, treat it like a 401k. You should be able to take your insurance with you when you change jobs. That right there, and you'll own your own policy. That eliminates probably 95% of the pre-existing conditions problems that we have right now.
Okay.
And you will control your own health care policy. You'll get the policy you want. Your employer can help pay for it or even pay the entire premium. But it's like a 401k. You get to take it with you.
Love it.
Number six, post prices. Number seven, allow flexibility in risk pools. President Trump has already done a lot of this. But the goal is to have fewer individual policies. That's where people get hit, is in the individual policy market. The group market doesn't have problem. They don't count against you for pre-existing conditions. So what you want to do is spread the risk out among as many people as possible. Fewer individual policies, so more sharing of risk in group policies or big self-insured area entities like MediShare or these association insurances, so all the realtors could group together and self-insure.
Okay.
Number eight, pharmaceutical reform. President Trump is already working on that. It's a great plan. We can do more. Number nine, tort reform. Tort reform can account like medical malpractice, just covering your butt, medical practice, ordering more tests than you need and everything just in case, because you have to be able to stand up in front of a court of law and explain your actions. Or you get sued with frivolous lawsuits. That's what we really want to get rid of, is frivolous lawsuits. Mm-hmm. But defensive medicine may account for up to 25% of healthcare costs in this country.
Wow.
And no other country has as many lawyers as the United States.
Mm. I bet
no other country has the malpractice issue at all, not even a fraction of it that we have in the United States.
And I bet the trial attorney's lobby does not want to make that happen, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Right. Number 10, post prices. So those are the 10 areas. And I think, you know, do I think this is going to happen? It's going to have to happen. We're going to have to get people in office because there's so much corruption now that the government is so heavily involved in healthcare. That's why we have so much corruption, because lobbying groups like the health insurance industry, the pharmaceutical industry, Trial Lawyers Association are like the three largest lobbying groups in this country. Think about that, folks. Do you think that your congressman, who gets a ton of money from these guys to run a campaign, do you think they're going to want to change all this? No. So much of this could be done at the consumer level. We have to demand it.
We do have to demand that. So, Dr. Jill, thank you. You're the only person I know in America that has come up with this 10-point plan, and it totally makes sense. So we have just a couple of minutes on this other piece that Patty had found from the Colorado Sun. It was a title, "The Hispanic and Black Coloradans Have Been Disproportionately Hospitalized Because of the Coronavirus." What's your comments on that, Jill?
Well, and I don't doubt the numbers at all. I can tell you that, but what I disagree with is how it's being used. It's being politicized. So that
again,
may be true. Let's look at from my personal experience as a physician working in a lot of places with people of color in impoverished areas. I mean, for 12 years at least, I worked in those areas. So I see these patients. They come in. They don't come in right away because they are fearful of the system. So the blacks and Hispanics and other Latinos, people from other countries, are less likely to go to the doctor right away because they're fearful of the system. We also have a lot of illegal aliens, right, in the country. They're really reticent to go into the healthcare system because they don't want to be outed.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the people in a lot of those cultures, they have more disease. They're more likely to have diabetes. They may have a propensity to obesity more than we do. Blacks have a higher propensity to high blood pressure and other concomitant illnesses like heart disease and things like that that make them more likely to succumb or die from COVID or be hospitalized because of COVID.
Okay.
So as a culture, and we have to say it's not racism, it's cultural differences. Cultural differences is not racism, okay? If you want, you can't celebrate diversity without recognizing cultural differences, right?
Right.
So there are cultural differences in people of color. Not that I love that term, but anyway, but people of color have different issues within their culture. And many of those can make them more susceptible to COVID, but it's being used like Joe Biden in his speech. I watched stomach. Part of his speech, I just watched it on YouTube, and it's like they blame us. Oh, because of your white privilege, or the doctors aren't treating them as well as they would treat a white person. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
They're trying to turn that into a political, like, it's their fault. It's somebody's fault that these people are doing this. No, you know, they have different lifestyles, and inherently different cultures have propensities to different diseases. White women are more likely to get osteoporosis. So don't blame it. We're not going to blame that on every other culture. So that's where I get, that's where I don't like it, is the politicization of an accurate statistic.
Right. So it's pushing forward that white privilege narrative. You know, that is a nugget of a golden nugget that you just said just a moment ago, Dr. Jill, and that is that cultural differences is not racism. My friends, if you don't remember anything else from the show today, that is gold. Cultural differences is not racism. And our cultural differences, I remember we used to celebrate them because we were one big melting pot. And they're trying to the cultural appropriation and all that. You know, it's so sad to me what is happening now. But that is a great nugget, Dr. Jill. Cultural differences is not racism. What's your final thought for our listeners today?
Well, I think I'd take it that next step further by saying the left always wants to celebrate diversity, right? Coexist, celebrate diversity. Well, what's diversity? Diversity is differences in cultures, whether it be a social, like a, you know, the way a group of people thinks, what they look like, where they're from, you know, what religious practices they have. They want to celebrate diversity. But if you identify somebody as being culturally different than you, you're a racist. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. And within each of these cultures, the great American idea is that each individual within that culture has they're created equal with these rights of life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Dr. Jill Vecchio, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it for, again, that 10-point plan to fix healthcare here in America, and also your comments regarding the politicization of this coronavirus once again. So have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. How are you?
Top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning to you. So what's going on over in your life?
Well, I'll tell you some interesting earnings reports yesterday, Kim. One of them was Salesforce, which is one of the companies that's being added to the Dow Jones, I think, at the end of the month.
Uh-huh.
Big numbers yesterday. That's a big stock, you know, and this is evidence that, you know, you don't have to go buy low-priced stocks to get big gains. Salesforce was up $56 yesterday to $272. It was up 26%. In one day on a very, very strong earnings report. Too bad it didn't get added to the Dow a couple of days ago before that happened, huh?
Yeah, then we'd probably be at a new record high maybe at the Dow. I don't know.
Well, yeah, that certainly would have helped. And Netflix, certainly probably not unexpectedly, also had a very good quarter. That stock was up 11% in one day. That's a, you know, over a $500 stock that moved up $57 in one day.
Wow.
But we can't leave the smaller ones out because sometimes they do well too. And Smith and Wesson, moved up about 15% yesterday. And that stock, not surprisingly either, since all these riots started, has gone from about $8 up as high as yesterday as just about $20.
Wow. Gosh. And you know what? That's one I hadn't even thought about that, but it doesn't take a rocket scientist that probably would be a very popular stock right now. You know what? So this is earnings time. We're into earnings time again, Jason McBride.
We're kind of catching, I think, some of the tail end of it. Like Smith and Wesson, they report like 1 month off. You know, instead of their quarter ending in March, it ends in April. Salesforce, again, instead of having the June quarter, it's a July. I don't know why companies do that,
yeah.
But some of them do. And, you know, Netflix, you know, they have a regular earnings report quarter that goes in June. So, you know, actually perhaps that big move up from Netflix yesterday may not have been earnings related.
Okay, interesting. So very interesting. Jason, with all the strength, it's always good to be making decisions on strength. And so I would highly recommend that people do a portfolio checkup with you and your colleagues over at Presidential Wealth Management, because when things are strong, that's the time to do it. And so to reach you, people can get you at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Any other thoughts, Jason?
Well, I'm sure I've got plenty of them, but I think you covered everything pretty well for today, Kim.
Okay, perfect. We'll talk to you tomorrow then, Jason McBride.
All right. Have a great show.
Thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk with Sarah Chamberlain, and she is the president and CEO of the Republican Main Street Partnership. And we'll be talking about suburban women, which has been very elusive for Republicans over these last few election cycles, and something that is near and dear to their heart, and that's education. So we'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson. MONSON.com. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. And at the website, you can sign up for our weekly newsletter, which will give you first look at all of the upcoming guests, as well as our Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts and our most recent op-eds. Before we get to Sarah Chamberlain, just want to remind all of you that Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas have the minority bus tour, the I'm a Trumpster minority bus tour kickoff tomorrow. And we're going to meet at 4:30 at 401 West 43rd. And we are going to do a big motorcade through the streets of Denver. And then Reggie and Johnny will be taking this bus into minority communities to move the needle for Republicans and for President Trump. So once again, join us tomorrow, 4:30 at 401 West 43rd. And on the line with me is Sarah Chamberlain. She is the president and CEO of the Republican Main Street Partnership. Sarah Chamberlain, welcome to the show.
I'm thrilled to be here, Kim. Thank you.
What is the Republican Main Street Partnership, Sarah?
We are a group of elected officials from around the country, 50 strong, and we vote in a center-right type voting record. You know, we live in the suburban districts, hence I study suburban women. And without Main Street members, unfortunately, we don't have a majority in the houses.
Okay. Suburban women, particularly here in the Denver metro area, has been somewhat elusive for Republicans over the last few election cycles. Is there any and do you know why, Sarah? Have you looked at that?
I sure do. I study them on a regular basis. They love the Republican policies, but they join with the First Lady and not liking the tweets from the president. And what's right? I mean, I agree occasionally with those myself. So now they're struggling to figure out where to go. And that's an issue. When they vote Republican, we have control of the House. 2 years ago, they decided to vote Democratic. We lost control of the House, and that came right through the suburbs. I lost 30 members in the last 2 years. And hence, you know, Paul Ryan is, and Kevin McCarthy is not the Speaker of the House this cycle.
So I think that this suburban woman, now I know there's certainly some that are just totally, you know, totally Democrat. I think that's a smaller percentage. What I'm feeling, what I'm seeing, Sarah, is the women are going, wait a minute. We don't like what we see happening with our cities being riot. There's the rioting. They're concerned about community safety, and I know they're concerned about education. What are you seeing them say right now?
They're very concerned about education. You know, they want to know when their kids are physically going back to school. You know, there's a lot of pressure on them because they're oftentimes working from home. Their kids are going to school from home, and there's a lot of dynamics going on within that house that are like, we have got to figure out this COVID and get back to our lives. You know, if it's mask wearing, it's mask wearing, but we need to get back to our lives because what's going on in the families is potentially a mental health crisis. I mean, there's a lot of dynamics that are building around that we're going to have to take years to focus on, especially mental health. I'm hearing from all the women, their kids, because they haven't seen their friends. You know, they're going to school online. Some of them, you know, their internet connection isn't the greatest, and they're starting to have some depression issues. Aww. And that's scaring these women.
You know, I was with a number of women last week, I think it was, and most of them were all professional women. And one of them said, and she, I think she has a first grader. And so just what you're talking about, they need to get back to work, and they need their kids to get back to school. They want their kids to get back to school. And she said, I feel that the reaction to this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus thing has really been laser focused to hurt working women. And I'm like, really? And she said, yes, because we not only have to teach the kids, take care of the kids, try to take care of our business, and take care of the house. She said, we are totally feeling squeezed. I thought that was a really interesting comment, Sarah Chamberlain.
Okay, and I agree with her 100%. That's exactly what's going on, and we are getting squeezed. I mean, I'm a suburban woman myself. It's very difficult to juggle all this, and our lives are not easy to begin with, and now with this on top of it, it's terrible. And the women are struggling, and they don't really know where to turn, and they're looking for some real answers, especially about sending their kids back to school.
So what are the solutions that you're starting to see, Sarah?
So when I talked to women, I talked to about 250 suburban women a week and all over the country, and the one consensus is we are willing to have our kids go back to school. We're willing to take a bit of that risk. But, you know, they will wear masks, and maybe there can be an award incentive. For a little child, you know, maybe it's a little award, you know, a matchbox car or something at the end of the day if they keep their mask on all day. But it is so important for them to try to get their kids back to school because if they have to go back physically to their jobs, who's going to take care of their children at home? So now you've got a crisis going on where you don't have any daycare. You don't have anybody in the house. And if you can find somebody, supply and demand, the prices are outrageous, and they can't afford to pay them. So there's a real problem going on out there that I don't think is really being addressed.
So, Sarah, I have to tell you, it makes me sad to see children wearing masks. I'm not sure I buy the whole thing. It's the little ones, you know. It looks like research says that they are not really at risk, you know, at significant risk regarding the COVID-19 Wuhan virus, and it makes me sad to see them have to wear masks. I mean, is there any way we can come up with solutions where they wouldn't have to do that? Or maybe I actually had a candidate for Colorado Senate District 31 earlier, he mentioned about moving the decision-making down more to the local level. And so if parents wanted to go to a school where it was all mask wearing, maybe they could do that. And if parents didn't feel that was necessary, maybe that could be an alternative. What do you think about that, Sarah?
I think that's a great idea. I'm from a very small town in Western New York. They don't have any COVID cases. Their kids aren't going back to school. They're like, why can't our kids go back to school? There aren't any cases here. So, you know, and make it optional. Make the mask. Maybe it's, you know, instead of school by school, maybe it's classroom by classroom. This classroom, the kids wear their masks. You know, for the parents who want the kids to wear masks, you go to classroom A. If you're okay with your child not wearing a mask, you go to classroom B. I mean, there's so many things we could be doing that we're not. And the one thing that's also happening is that suburban women are telling me no one's asking them how they feel. They're being told what they need to do. They're not being asked.
And, you know, I find that so interesting, Sarah, because before the whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus thing, I would talk to women and they would say, oh, I'm not into politics. Now they're like, wait a minute, politics is into me big time. And they are paying attention. And so what I kind of hear you underlying say is they would like to have the freedom to make choices for their families. And they would like to be asked. They would like to have, you know, to give their consent to different policies out there. And I love the creativity of what you just described. And that is that if people felt more comfortable with their children in the classroom with masks, they could choose that. And for people over here that didn't and had non-mask-wearing classes, they could choose that. I think that is a super solution, Sarah. It doesn't seem like it's that hard to get to that.
No, it doesn't. You would think that's common sense. But unfortunately, that's not where we are. But as you articulated, suburban women are absolutely now listening to politics. They're understanding, they're following it. You know, before I found, because I also do what's called a woman-to-woman national tour, travel the country talking to women about what their needs are on the federal level. And before it was, you know, they're important, but it was kind of vague. Now it's boom, 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 boom. They have a list. They're like, we need this, we need that. So they are engaged, and I'm thrilled to see that because suburban women need to become engaged in politics. I mean, that's what we have to do, because then our voices will be heard and people will start to ask us. I mean, part of the problem is we don't get asked because we don't have a united voice. But once we have that, hopefully we'll be taking as a block, and they're get our opinions and use our opinions. I mean, to me, that what I just said about the school is common sense. I mean, common sense, but no one's doing that. I mean, it's shocking to me what's going on in this country, and especially in the areas where you don't have good computer access or internet access. I mean, believe it or not, there are still parts of this country that do not have great connectability. And they're like, you know, our kids get on, but we've got 4 or 5 computers because, you know, we're working, our spouses are working, and the internet goes down. And it's like, okay, so there's a lot of dynamics out there that need to be fixed, and need to be fixed pretty quickly. I mean, we're going to have the kids lose a year here of education if we're not careful.
I know that. Hey, let's go to break, Sarah Chamberlain. And when we come back, let's continue the conversation. And Sarah Chamberlain is the president and CEO of the Republican Main Street Partnership. Before we do that, though, one of my valued partners is Castlegate Knife and Tool, which is located right in Sedalia, Colorado. They are a family-owned business, and they have a wide selection for anything in your life. I'm actually going to get a great little, I need a utility knife just to have around the house for different things. And so I'll be getting one of those. I've also been giving wedding gifts of some of their very great knife sets, but they also have knives for military, for the sportsmen, for collectors, and they're open 7 days a week. Would highly recommend that you go out and just take a look at, it's a fabulous store. And more information, go to castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We're going to go to break and we'll be back with Sarah Chamberlain.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all of our guests, as well as our most recent Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts and our most recent guest op-eds. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. Before we get back to Sarah Chamberlain, you just heard the promo for I'm a Trumpster Radio. And many of you may know that Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas now have a show on Sunday afternoons on KLZ 560. And you know their story. They've been in the black hip-hop entertainment industry for many years. And when they heard President Donald Trump talk about intellectual property rights, even though they grew up in these black Democrat families, they said, he's our guy. And so they have created the I'm a Trumpster brand. And tomorrow, the 42-foot bus that has been vinyl wrapped that they're going to take into minority communities, we will unveil that. It will be the kickoff tour. And so be part of history and join us. It'll be tomorrow at 4:30. We're meeting at 401 West 43rd. Bring your flag with your car. We're going to have probably 100 cars at least, motorcycles, and we're going to do the inaugural kickoff on this through the streets of Denver. For more information, go to I'm a Trumpster. That's imatrumpster.com. And Reggie and Johnny have all of the information there. So Sarah Chamberlain, president and CEO of the Republican Main Street Partnership, you said that you talked to over 250 women each week, suburban women. And what are other things? Education is certainly on their hearts. What else are they talking about, Sarah?
Healthcare. The biggest thing after education is healthcare. They don't want a socialist government. They like their healthcare, and they're afraid that they could lose it. So the healthcare, and under healthcare is mental health and some of the other opioid addictions. But they're concerned about what's going on with healthcare in this country, and they do not want to lose what they have. They like it. For the most part, they like it. They want to make sure they keep their pre-existing conditions, which the Republican Party has come out and said, absolutely, you keep them. Some of the AOC and the Democratic suggestions, that they don't, that scares them. So it's interesting when they talk about voting, and people talk about suburban women are lost to President Trump. I would say I'm not so sure about that yet. I think it's a huge if, and the pollsters and the pundits are like, oh no, they're all voting for Biden. I'm not seeing that yet. Biden has not locked them up.
I don't think so either. And of course, if you only watch the mainstream media, which is a constant barrage against President Trump, never talking about any of the good things that he's done. But from a policy standpoint, I think people are going to have to start to say which policies are best for me. And Sarah, I think a friend of mine that writes for The Federalist had said that like him or hate him, President Trump has brought clarity to the issues. And we have really seen that in Colorado with what has happened down at our Capitol. I think you're going to be, are you in Denver right now, or you're coming to Denver?
I am.
Okay.
I am in Denver.
Okay.
Late last night.
Okay. I don't know if you probably haven't had a chance to go down and take a look at our Capitol, but it had been totally defaced and destroyed. And there was a statue of a Union soldier out in front of the Capitol, which whenever we did our rallies down there, I always would look up at that and just think, oh, that's so interesting. A statue to these men that put their life on the line to settle the slavery question. And it was great that we had a statue there, and it's gone. It's gone now. And I think suburban women are waking up to it, like, wait a minute. The choices we have is divisiveness and destruction and kind of tearing down America, or let's build America up and prosperity and being able to go after their hopes and dreams. And when their kids get out of school, they want them to have opportunities of jobs and to create their own businesses.
You're absolutely right. And that's why I always tell my members of Congress that they're not suburban women. Turn off the TV. They are not lost to the Republican Party. No, many of them do not care personally for Donald Trump, but you know what? They're not marrying Donald Trump. They don't have to personally like him. Do you like his issues or not? And that's really what it's going to come down to. As they start to vote, mid-September, a lot of our states are going to start to vote. And that will be the key question when they sit there and look at the ballot Do they like what's happening in this country around policies? And if they do, they will check Trump. Well, and you know, that's just going to be the way it is. And that's why I always tell people, do not count him out yet. Maybe the overall polling has him down 7 or 8 points. But the reality is, you know, these suburban women are going to make the difference and be interesting to see which way they go.
Well, and also you probably heard we were talking about the I'm a Trumpster bus tour. And Reggie and Johnny are taking this into minority communities. And my understanding is President Trump is doing very well with the Black community and the Hispanic community. So I'm with you. You can't write any of these groups off for sure. Now, Sarah Chamberlain, here in Colorado, what I am really recommending is people need to vote Republican. You may not love a candidate, but at this particular point in time, we need to vote Republican, really kind of from a strategic standpoint as well. Like here in Colorado, the Democrats have, it's really been the radical activists that have taken over the Democrat Party. I think people need to understand this Democrat Party is not the party of JFK. And it's really more, it's moved more and more to the left. And so I really recommend that people vote Republican and then stay engaged with these representatives, Sarah Chamberlain.
You're absolutely right. And the key is stay engaged with them. If there's something that Republican, your rep is doing that you don't like, let them know that. I mean, they want to hear from their constituency. But you're right. I think it's very important. I live in Washington. I've watched what's happened the last 2 years to the House of Representatives. And it's scary. I mean, you've got AOC creating, you know, the Green New Deal and all of this stuff. It's a very scary route that she wants to send this country down. And she has a lot of allies that are happy to walk down that road with her. And I would say, you know what, it doesn't matter if you personally like Donald Trump or not. Odds are you're really probably never even going to meet him. But if you're good with the policies and what the Republican Party is trying to do, you need to vote Republican. There's just no doubt about it.
Well, I have been watching the RNC convention as much as I can, and I found it really interesting that they have actually highlighted that Donald Trump has put more women in positions of power within his administration or within his campaigns than almost anybody else. And suburban women don't know that. And so I think that it's been great that they have highlighted that, Sarah Chamberlain.
I totally agree. And of course, Kellyanne Conway was the first woman to ever win a presidential campaign. I mean, remember when he was stumbling a little bit, he brought her in. She's the first woman to ever win. And most people don't understand that. I mean, she made history by running a campaign, the first female running a presidential campaign to victory. And again, you're right. Suburban women do not know this. Suburban women hear what they hear on TV. And again, they're not marrying President Trump. They're, you know, do you like his policies? And if you do, ignore the tweets if you don't like them and focus on, are you happy with where the country is? I mean, the virus is, you know, obviously we've taken a step to the side, but we will step right back in when we get a vaccination for the COVID virus.
Well, and the treatments also for the COVID virus, because there's, I think, successful treatments. And so I think that's really important. And once again, I would hope that people would have a choice on treatment or vaccine. I do not like it when I hear the word mandate, Sarah Chamberlain. So we've got just a couple of minutes left. What are the final thoughts that you would like to leave with our listeners, Sarah Chamberlain?
Take a really good look at the Republican Party and ignore the rhetoric and focus on the issues. If that is the direction you want the country to go in, please vote Republican. You've got a couple really good people here in Denver that are running for House, and we need these seats back. We lost a couple seats in the last cycle. We need to get them back.
Well, and again, strategically, every one of these seats counts, and every vote is really going to be important this election cycle. I know that people used to say, oh, I'm not sure I'll vote because I'm not sure that it really counts. It does count. And we have seen that many Christians, many veterans have not voted in these past election cycles. And many, you know, most their values actually match up with the Republican Party, with Donald Trump. And so people cannot sit on the couch and not vote this election cycle. They need to make sure they're registered and they need to vote, Sarah Chamberlain.
You are absolutely right. I have lost seats, and members have lost by hundreds of votes. every single vote counts.
And so how can people get more information about you, Sarah Chamberlain?
Sure. For the suburban women, it's W2WTour.com. And for Republican Main Street Partnership, it's RMSP.org.
Well, we are in a historical time, Sarah Chamberlain, and thank you. And so you're in Denver. I think I might get to meet you a little bit later today. I'm hoping that's the case.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. So thank you, Sarah Chamberlain, and we'll hopefully talk to you soon.
Take care. Thank you.
Okay. And our quote for today is from Thomas Sowell. He says, "Whatever we wish to achieve in the future, it must begin by knowing where we are in the present, not where we wish we were or where we wish others to think we were, but where we are in fact." And that's Thomas Sowell. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Mountains climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a